So, thank you. Good morning. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Environmental Improvement Transportation and Public Outreach Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, and it is 9:36 a.m. We're having a virtual meeting today. And so the first item on the agenda is a determination of quorum. So Maria, can you take roll, please?
Ms. Faustinos?
Present.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novacell?
Here.
Ms. Williamson? Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Terrific. Thank you, Maria. First, I'll go over the ground rules for the committee meeting this morning, so please bear with me a little bit. First off, to observe this meeting, go to trpa.org under announcements. In the center of the page, click on Listen Live Governing Board, February 24th, 2021, online meeting. Members of the public can find all meeting materials under Documents, Subfolder Meetings and Notices, sub February 24th, 2021, Governing Board Meeting. If you're in the public, to participate in this Environmental Improvement, Transportation, and Public Outreach Committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform, the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to the microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the audio stream, please note that this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. If you are joining via the audio stream, please note this is also a listen-only option. Again, if you need to comment, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, smartphone, or the dial-in number you received with your registration. For committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you are online or speak up if you are calling in. Please make sure you send your chat to panelists and organizers. And then committee members, please only use the chat function to indicate desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone, please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on the background noise. So with that, the next item is the approval of the agenda. And Julia or Nick, is there any changes to the agenda?
I don't have any changes, no.
Okay, so I don't hear any changes to the agenda, so we're going to deem the agenda approved for the record. So now we're going to move on to the agenda item number two, which is the work session for sustainable transportation funding. The information's on page 629 of your packet. In addition, I believe it was last night that Maria sent out to committee members a handout titled Sustainable Funding Policy Considerations. Looks a bit like this, so you should have all got that in your email as well. And with that, I think I will turn it over to you, Nick, to lead the conversation and start us off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nick Haven, for the record, Transportation and Long Range Planning Manager here at TRPA. Happy to be in front of you today. I think this is a great opportunity with this committee to begin to talk transportation funding, everybody's favorite topic. Can you click to the next slide, please, Tracy? So gonna quickly review just this committee's role in that transportation funding initiative and go over some policy considerations and basically guidance that we're looking for input from this committee. Next slide. This is more of a visual representation, but so this is really a kickoff of a series of work sessions that we're going to engage with this committee on transportation funding. So if you recall last month, the committee approved the work plan for developing a regional funding proposal for transportation and really rowing toward that proposal going to Nevada Legislative Oversight Committee around the September timeframe. So that's really what we're working toward. Next slide. Actually, I'm sorry, stay there. I'm trying to read off two different presentation pieces, bear with me. As you can see with this graphic, so this is how the process has been established, where we have the two policy committees there on the left, this committee, and then the TTD board as the other policy working group. So we have these two policy committees to provide input on larger policy issues and help provide the sideboards that will then direct the staff level group on the right-hand side. That's made up of implementers, a lot of public works staff, state DOTs, and others. And this staff level group is really where they're going to pull together a lot of this information, help provide recommendations and details coming back to that bottom arrow where we're supplying information back to these policy groups for informed discussion. And so this can take the form of, you know, informational presentations, like we're thinking about having state representatives come to these groups and report on, you know, what are statewide funding efforts that are going on. We want to make sure we understand the full landscape of funding. There's also issue papers that we may need to dive in deeper into an issue and provide that information. And so all of these materials and info will be landing in a report that will support that final proposal. Okay, and so that's what we're aiming towards, and that's what we're looking for input on today. And so, you know, these types of regional funding pursuits, you can go to the next slide, Tracy, are becoming more and more common. And so there's a lot of examples of these regional or localized funding efforts from California, from regions in Nevada. And you've also heard it termed self-help. And so this is a concept that is basically generating local or regional dollars to remain competitive for the higher and higher matching requirements we're seeing from federal and state dollars. It provides you a little more local or regional control in terms of what you're able to deliver. But here's some examples. You know, you have Marin County. In the middle here is Southern Nevada RTC and their fuel revenue indexing. And on the right is a effort out of Sonoma County. And so there's a common thread throughout these in terms of, you know, the level of information and detail that's in there. And so, you know, we can share reports to these just so you get a flavor of what we're really trying to produce with this effort. You know, we're not reinventing the wheel necessarily, and we can learn from some of these very successful efforts. So next slide, please.
Hey. Nick, can I just quickly interrupt and just say that the handout that Jim mentioned at the top of the meeting is posted for the public on our website. And so if members of the public want to go there, they can get a copy of that handout that was distributed last night to the committee members. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for that announcement.
Thank you, John.
That's going to be a key document that we're going to utilize today to help us walk through some of these policy considerations. So before we jump into those, I wanted to quickly provide a report out from the TTD meeting that happened earlier this month, where we did a similar exercise, as well as the Transportation Implementation Committee, that staff level group, that met on Monday. Just want to make sure that we are continuing to triangulate the discussion and making sure we're highlighting issues that are raised or considerations that are brought up. And Carl's on the line, Carl Hasty from the Tahoe Transportation District. Also on this committee, we're fortunate to have some crossover with the Tahoe Transportation District Board as well. So Ms. Gustafson, Ms. Novacell, Ms. Hill, feel free to jump in and add or clarify anything along this item. So some of the highlights that we heard were really, you know, reinforcing casting the net wider beyond the basin and how, you know, our any funding proposal works with surrounding communities, including, as we heard from Placerville, you know, going west, Placerville areas, Truckee areas, the Reno area, as well as, you know, the Carson and Minden valleys. Those will be followed up on in terms of working with partners down there. And we're already reaching out and including those in that staff level group. Also, you know, acknowledging current and proposed local funding, ensuring enough detail is provided about priority projects. I think this was brought up in relation to, you know, broader characterizations of corridor plans or corridor areas and being able to really provide that information that shows, you know, what projects specifically we're talking about funding with this effort. In addition to public outreach, we need to make sure we're keeping legislative officials up to speed on all our endeavors along the way, including not only you know, early notification of what we're working on, but then that ramps up in detail as we go along in terms of what we can brief on. And so there was also, you'll see another item on this agenda is to talk about, you know, what are some consensus tools we should maybe consider using as a group to move us to decisions or deal with tougher issues. And so there's a proposal in the staff report for this consensus gauge or consensus scale approach. And the TDD board discussed that as well and signaled support for utilizing that. So Carl or others, are there any other big topics that I missed that we should get in front of this group?
I think you've got the big ones, Nick.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Nick. Just a clarifying question. Your very first bullet, the include surrounding communities, which I totally agree with and I think is important. I was just wondering what exactly that meant. Does that mean include surrounding communities to be part of receiving regional revenue to help with the transportation system, or is it including surrounding communities for comments? I'm curious, what is the breadth and the depth of the comment?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it is really inquiring with those communities on how they would like to be involved. And that's what we're undertaking right now and can bring back, you know, for further discussion, because it may be a spectrum there in terms of the level of engagement. And we'll bring that back.
And if I may add to that a little bit, this is Carl Hasty. Jim, it is a spectrum to Nick's point. It is being aware the input, we have to go broader. We have full counties here. So that is one aspect of it. From a revenue sharing aspect of that, the only area that's really been discussed as part of this process so far is really that kind of resort triangle. What's that interplay there? Because it is most intertwined in that way. Less so for the other jurisdictions outside, but that interaction, given the constituency base, et cetera, and just being part of those counties, that so it is a spectrum. Just wanted to stress that a little bit more.
Great. I appreciate that and totally agree with we need to involve the surrounding communities. I appreciate that it's a spectrum, and I'm sure it will change probably as we have more conversations. So thank you.
Great, thanks. So the Transportation Implementation Committee, we're calling the TTIC, that also met on Monday. So that staff level group went through this same list that we're gonna walk through today, because they're the ones that are gonna have to wrestle with these issues and hopefully be able to provide some recommendations and some information to this and the TDD board to help us move through some of these items. It was a good discussion, and I think recognition that there is mutual benefit for working toward this additional funding for transportation, and the need exists. And so there is also the need to organize around kind of regional and local priorities and figure out, you know, how does a funding effort like this begin to deal with those different needs? And then also broader outreach across multiple organizations. You know, the outreach, as you saw those materials that I flashed up earlier, you know, those materials are going to need to iterate as we advance through this process to keep momentum and keep people at the table and to illustrate how issues are being addressed and how priorities are being addressed. Also, there was a discussion around sharing information about whether it was polling data, public input data across, again, across multiple agencies that have been doing various efforts, whether it's local governments, TTD, TRPA, and really bringing all that information together to get a better sense of, you know, what are the public's needs and being able to represent those well. And so it culminated with really a sense of, hey, we can do this. You know, Tahoe has a good track record of dealing with pretty meaty issues and regional issues that require collaboration and consensus building. And so we have a good history of doing that, and we're going to employ that again here through this effort. So looking forward to it. Next slide, please. So now I want to take a moment to let's jump into these policy or what we'll call the framing considerations. So again, we're really looking at engagement on these pods of issues that can help provide those sideboards and that guidance to that staff level group that's going to really start more earnest in production mode of answering some questions, providing the necessary information. And so really the first three here on the left are the ones that you know, we've heard a lot about and probably will spend the most time today, and we'll see what we can get through today because we do want to really foster a good discussion with this group. So we're going to start. I'm going to quickly give a really high level kind of orientation on what each of these pods represent, and then we can go through each of them individually and stop at each one and have a discussion. Does that work for you, Mr. Chair?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
Sure, and so starting with the why, you know, this is really that rationale for seeking additional transportation funding. And I think we're in pretty good shape on this one. There is fairly broad agreement that more funding is needed and making we need to make it clear that stable funding is needed to remain competitive, like I was saying earlier, for evolving federal and state funding programs and just stability to deliver a program of projects. The what refers to kind of what funding sources are we really talking about and how do we land on a regionally aligned proposal, you know, for that funding. And this grouping has also received a lot of input. The next, who pays? You know, this is really about addressing social equity concerns, whether it's income-based, disadvantaged communities, and then also how do we handle different types of users, right? The locals, the commuters, the different types of visitors, day and overnight, in this proposal. The where is how, you know, how do we address project priorities? And where will these projects be located, this support of regional and local needs, and being able to articulate the benefits that are forecast and the benefits that are associated with these projects. That's important in terms of reporting GHG, VMT, congestion benefits, you know, what are those types of things that we need to make sure we're reporting out. And then the when is really focused on the timing of the new funding. And this is where I think the implementation committee can provide a lot of value How will these improvements roll out? What's the schedule on that? What's realistic in terms of this basin's implementation capacity with all our implementing partners? The how then is more that administrative piece. And so what entity administers any new funding? How are projects selected for funding? And those kind of administrative details that need to get worked out. And this one, you know, these items may come a little later as we arrive at funding sources or mechanisms that we would like to pursue. That may depend on those decisions. And so now we're going to go ahead and click into each of these in more detail so that we can, you know, facilitate a good discussion around these issues. And really what we're looking for is, you know, what should we be considering as we develop some of these recommendations and supporting information? What are we missing? What needs a deeper dive? And so we'll start with the why. And as I mentioned, there's pretty broad agreement on this one. You know, the compact being a solid driver for collaborative funding and implementation of the RTP, getting it delivered. But there's also this need, obviously, to remain competitive. A good example of this is this week, a funding proposal came out from the federal government, for instance, for what's called the INFRA program, one of the largest infrastructure programs through the federal government. And that changed dramatically over the last year. And, you know, 50 to 60% matching requirements are now being proposed. So what we're seeing is a move in criteria and requirements to fund larger urban areas. So that makes it that much more difficult for Tahoe to remain competitive. The need to provide that stability and funding O&M needs, like we need to take care of our existing system. A lot of our crumbling roads and everything, our transit operations, and maintaining that system that's literally crumbling. So with that, you know, are there other reasons that we're missing? Are there questions or clarifications? So at this point, let's open it up.
Thanks, Nick. And I guess before any committee members jump in with questions, I do want to, you know, say a couple of things. Primarily, you know, the issue of transportation and solving the transportation problem is, this isn't a new problem. It has been, it's been a problem for years. And I think it is even more acute now as we have growing populations and outdoor recreation and sustainable recreation becomes more of an issue as we try to manage our public lands and our resources. So there is an acute need for this, and this is very important work. And with that, I want to encourage committee members to, as we always do, I'm always proud to be on this TRPA board. We're always very respectful of everybody's opinions. But we need to get everything on the table. And I want to encourage committee members to be open, honest, respectful, and not hold back, because we need to make progress. And the only way we're going to make progress is if we have very honest and open communication. So thanks for indulging me with that. I do have, for the why, I think it's probably embedded in there, but the two things that jump out to me that perhaps could be added is just the environmental reasons for doing this. You know, I think it is embedded. That's why we have the RTP and the Bi-State Compact, but there are true environmental reasons that we need to get this revenue source. The other thing that I would add, you know, you mentioned grants and competitiveness and O&M. I also think that we need a revenue source so we can be nimble and take advantage of opportunities that might not have been on our radar screen, but perhaps just arise, particularly for the federal government, that like an infrastructure program. If something comes out, we need to be poised and ready to move fast. So those are my two comments. I do want to open it up to committee members. I see First one I have is Sue. So Sue, would you like to go ahead and make your comment?
Thank you, Jim. My comment is on the third bullet there, and we discuss this a lot in TDD, is talking about the difference between a transportation operation and a transit operation, as far as transportation is more of the EIP and transit is more of the ops and maintenance. So I just think it would be good to maybe include that information in that third bullet to say, provide stable ongoing source of unfunded operations maintenance for transit. Specify it out, because again, I think there's two different separate issues that we're talking about here. One is the transportation EIPs, and the other is your operations for your transit. Just my two cents on that. That's it.
Good comment. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
I also see Belinda. Belinda, would you like to make a comment or have a question on the slide?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So here, I really am thinking about who our audience is for these, bullet points. And given what some of the priorities are that we're seeing, in particular out of Washington, D.C. these days with addressing climate change and equity issues, it just seems like that's something we should embed right at the beginning, that it'll resonate, with some of the funding opportunities that are coming up, that will also, be handed down at the state level as well. So, I think we all understand that that's embedded in here, but it's good to make sure that in our communications material, we continue to highlight those issues.
Great. Thank you, Belinda. Good comment. And then I see Cindy, you'd like to, you have a comment or a question?
Yes, thanks, Jim. I first off wanted to thank staff for this new graphic, because I think it's simplified and actually a great addition to the discussions we've been having on this subject. So great job, whoever prepared it. Secondly, to Sue's point, I agree with Sue, but I also think we have operational and maintenance funding for capital projects that needs to. So maybe we need to outline both for operations and maintenance of transit as well as for capital projects. That was it.
Excellent. Good comment. Thank you, Cindy. I don't see anybody in my chat box, any other committee members, but I'll kind of open it up to, do any other committee members have any comments or questions on this slide?
I thought I sent you a chat. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Bill. Thank you.
I agree with Belinda in part. I'm a little concerned about the why. Is the audience is more like ourselves, or just the basin? And I don't think that that's we do have to kind of step outside and talk about the other things. And also, the reason why there's a need is also from the standpoint of our tourist-based economy. We have to have a better transportation system in order to maintain the recreational access and things that people are expecting. And we get the pushback from the public when we have these terrible traffic problems. So I do think that there has to be a sense that, we're doing this in order to help the tourist-based economy here and also to improve recreational access. And I agree with Belinda that recreational access should point out that is not just for those that can afford it, but that recreational access is for everyone to come and enjoy Lake Tahoe. So those are my comments.
Mr. Chairman, this is Alexis. To expand on what Bill said, and maybe balancing the recreation and the tourism elements with the full-time residents, the community who lives there, and ensuring that, there's sustainability, throughout the year for these community members to get around, and their safety in the community.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Alexis. Good comment, and thank you, Bill. So I think, Nick, you got what you needed for the why?
Yeah, no, that was excellent. Thank you. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one, which is the what. And so this is another area that I think we've received a lot of input on already, and so wanted to also talk a little bit about kind of what are some initial assumptions that we're rolling with, so that you can see how we're approaching some of these issues and, you know, provide feedback on that. And so, you know, we're assuming a funding portfolio approach here. And so this is really, how do we recognize the full funding landscape? We have federal, state, local funding assumed, but then there's this gap, right? There's this gap, and how, that's what this effort is really about. How do we attack that gap? And so, you know, in the RTP, that gap's shown as 25 million annually. And so we need to acknowledge that interplay between existing funding and new funding to pursue. That's going to require kind of a sector or shares-based representation. Who's providing what, or who needs to provide what, based on kind of a sector approach that we've seen success in the EIP in doing. And so that will help us establish that funding landscape and how any new proposed funding can fit within that. And so I'm curious to hear any feedback on that approach.
Thanks, Nick. So under this box, what, these are our questions. Are you looking for affirmation or answers to the questions?
Yeah. I think what I'm saying is, you know, for like, what is the funding source? I mean, we are looking at evaluating new potential funding sources and mechanisms. And we're not just looking at one source. We're kind of looking again at that full funding landscape. So I think we've assumed some answers to these questions and want to make sure that folks are okay with that.
Great, thanks for the clarification, Nick. So committee members, I don't see in the chat under the organizers and panelists. So I guess I'll open up. Do committee members have thoughts, comments that they would like to make on this slide?
Jim, this is Bill again. Nick, you know, I don't know how. I mean, I think we need more specificity in the what. What are the funding sources? What are the limitations on federal, state, and local funding sources? And then when you talk about the gap, give us an example of a project that, even if we had federal and state, we would have a responsibility to come up with a match. And where would that match come from? So I think what really requires a lot more detail for us to go through, for us to be able to answer what's the funding sources if we have some kind of magical thing. We may not, as you said, it may be a portfolio, but you know, there is the One Tahoe TTD work that's been done that talks about one way to deal with this particular issue. There are other ways, but I struggled myself, even with the knowledge that I have of what, while we've been working through, as to how to answer any of these questions without a lot more detail.
Thanks, Bill. I agree with your comment. Maybe Nick, you can clarify for us. For the purpose of this morning, I'm thinking that, you know, particularly for this box, you're looking for guidance on whether we're looking at one revenue source or should we be looking at multiple ones, new or existing, you know, but then coming back to this committee with more of that detailed information that I agree with Bill that we all need if we're going to be making really informed decisions on funding sources. Is that
That's correct. And so what we're really looking for today is, yeah, so there's some kind of very pointed and specific questions in here, but there is no doubt that we're going to need to supply that information. And I think Bill's feedback is very helpful in that, you know, how that information is produced, what will be helpful in terms of providing information. I think that is the direction kind of we're looking for today as well.
Okay, great, thank you. And thanks, Bill, for your comment. Does that help?
Yes.
Great, and then I see Belinda did make a comment saying that she agrees that, I get the sense, agrees with looking at multiple sources and looking at multiple sectors on how to fund this. And Belinda, if I misspoke for you, please correct me.
No, that's exactly right, Jim. And I do want to agree that having a better roadmap, you know, to what some of the parameters are of these various funding sources, timing. I will point you, it's not quite, I think, what we need, but California Natural Resources Agency has a funding resources spreadsheet, you know, I guess the best way to describe it, on their website that has some great components to it in terms of just providing summary information for all the various funding sources, you know, who's eligible to apply, what the timeline is, blah, blah. So that, I'm sure you have many templates like that based on, you know, what I've seen from DRPA staff in the past. But if you wanted to get some guidance, that would be, I think, one source. It's very valuable.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Belinda. And I do. I think that's something we're going to need as we dive into sort of evaluation of different sources. And I like that thought and template, and definitely need to be working on that. Any other committee member comments on this slide? I don't hear any. I will make a comment. And in all honesty, I don't know if this is a what or a who, but I think it needs to be part of it. I know, you know, at a state level, you know, I get a lot of questions when I advocate for Tahoe and various things, whether it's forest health or aquatic invasive species or water quality grants. And I do think that needs to be part of the mix as we're looking at this sort of self-help. And fairness and who's paying for what is to also sort of evaluate and acknowledge the fact that outside of the basin, there is a lot of investment that residents here in Nevada are already making regarding stormwater infrastructure, the sale of general obligation bonds. I had a Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act meeting last week, and you know, I'm very proud of the money going up to the basin for forest health, and included in that is help for residents to do their, you know, federal dollars to help with their defensible space on private property, you know, as well as working aquatic invasive species, et cetera. So, you know, I think if we're going to be successful in pitching something, at least to state legislatures, there has to be an acknowledgement and an awareness of these other processes of environmental improvements in the basin and who's paying for what as well.
Thank you for that, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, if I could follow up with the chairman's thing.
Yes.
That to me is, that's your third bullet, what it really needs to be expanded. Because Jim's right, there are a lot of funds coming into the basin to support various things. We need to show how those are benefiting Tahoe and acknowledge them. So it's a little bit more than just an interplay. I mean, it would be acknowledging the support that we already received. Nonetheless, when it comes to transportation, when you start evaluating the funding sources, there are limitations for us. And also, we are the smallest MPO, despite the fact we're a bi-state MPO, we are the smallest MPO. And just based on our population, even enhanced by our recreational increases, you know, that population can't afford essentially what we're talking about. So therefore, it does require us to start thinking about what are some other sources, because the existing sources will not do it, and why. I think, we do get a lot of support for things that we're doing. And if we're going to go out and ask for more or ask for the authority to do it ourselves, I think we need to acknowledge the support we have.
Great. Good feedback.
Thank you, Bill. Much, much more articulate than I am, as usual. Appreciate it. Any other committee members would like to comment on this slide? I don't see or hear any. So Nick, would you like to move on to the next one?
Please, yeah. So next slide, please. All right, so we touched on this a little bit. So this is really the who. So we will be diving into, you know, social equity issues and doing additional analysis on that, and we'll be bringing that back. But we also need to consider our different user base. We've talked about it. I think visitors, higher visitation or visitation impacts, whether that's day visitor, long-term visitor, as well as just recognizing the local and the local needs and circulation year-round. And then we have a pretty significant commuter base as well, and how would any proposed funding mechanisms impact those different users. Those are things that the implementation committee will begin to dive into. And so we're assuming kind of that need to highlight that nexus between who pays and who receives benefit. We heard that, I think, out of the TTD meeting, making sure that we're also looking into how, you know, both sides of, you know, yeah, there may be a burden side to it, but there's also potentially a benefit side that we need to articulate, right? Where funding could actually enhance access and could enhance services, and whether that's, you know, low-income folks or other disadvantaged populations, those are the types of things we're starting to look into. So what other kind of things should we be considering in this realm? We heard a lot of kind of high level comments on social equity, but what would we really need to be looking at?
Great. Thanks, Nick. And I do see that there a few committee members would like to make comments on this, and I'll just go in order that I received the request. And Belinda, you were the first one, so you'd like to speak on this slide?
Sure, thank you. I definitely think that looking at some kind of a graded system where, you know, in particular, local commuters that we want to encourage to use these systems, you know, we want to make sure that there is good equity in how these are used by school children, as an example, as well, so that you have a rating system that will promote that use. And for the low-income communities, I think that there's been a good system actually that's been established by California State Parks. They have a fee program that is gives, I think it's a total exemption, but I could be wrong, to any family that basically is receiving food stamps. You know, I think that's the criteria that they use. And that's something that is, you know, a pretty well-established standard, easily verifiable, that can create, you know, a way to actually address social equity issues and, you know, hopefully do it in such a way that it's not, you know, I guess the best word I can use is condescending, you know, to that population. But it's something that I think addresses the issue and yet, you know, provides, I think, a very understandable kind of, you know, benchmark for who would get that no cost access. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Belinda. Good comments. Next, I have Alexis. Alexis, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to add businesses in your list, locals, visitors, commuters, businesses. And then when we look at locals, when I lived and worked up in Tahoe, everyone said they were a local. So we need to think, what is that? What is being a local?
And now that, you know, I live in Reno, my constituents who live in Reno think that they're locals to Tahoe. So we just need to think through that definition.
Great, I agree. Thanks, Alexis. And then Bill.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. Again, there, in the range of transportation funding, I mean, things that we're talking about is everything from parking fees to potentially entry fees. Again, more specificity about how we would do this, and then it gets into those questions that Belinda has pointed out, and where we would provide parking maybe for people that are entering that would have it's kind of like going to San Francisco. You really are crazy to drive into and try to find a parking spot in San Francisco. You should hop on BART, or you should take the train into the BART station, whatever you do, because you know that it's certainly not an inexpensive experience, but it's also one that's fraught with all sorts of, will you ever find a parking spot, especially on a big weekend in San Francisco. So people over time have figured out that transit is the way to have the best time getting in and out of San Francisco. And the city's not shy about the fact that that was what they were trying to do when they basically did what they were going to do. But still, the equity issues will come about. But to a certain extent, we are trying to provide the parking facilities for people to come in and then leave their car somewhere so they hop in our system that would get them around without need of their car. And then what is that benefit that we are delivering for them, and then the question of affordability comes into play. And I do agree that somehow commuters have to be treated somewhat differently in this situation, simply because of the job related aspects of that. Anyway, it's this slide again, just kind of scratching at the surface, Nick. We need to kind of pull things out on this.
Yeah, completely agree. I think we're looking for direction of what we need to pull out. Like, what are people interested in? What directions we want to go? So this feedback is very helpful and will help us develop that detail.
Great, thank you. And then I have Sue. Sue, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Kind of getting to Bill's point on that second bullet, when we talk about visitors, specifically, a little more specifically, I think our recreational users, we have Rubicon travelers who come into the basin, not necessarily coming or going through our normal area roads, that have a large impact. How do we get them into this loop? And boaters. Boaters have a huge impact, transportation wise, you know, a way to include these types of recreational users who have perhaps larger impacts on our transportation, you know, one way or the other, whether it's through connections or, you know, as I said, smaller routes. I think we just need to make sure that we are including everybody in this, and specifically the recreational users. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I don't see other committee member comments or requests to comment. You know, I will add, what's nice about going last is everybody covers what you're going to say. I agree, you know, totally on, you know, taking a deeper dive onto businesses and commuters and how that fits in. You know, particularly, again, my perspective as a Nevada resident, I've not lived in the basin, but I lived in Carson and Reno since 91. And I do see an increase in traffic, but when I go to the basin, a lot of it is commuter traffic or service people, service workers coming up to the basin to help the residents up in the service area. So I do want to take a deeper dive into that. And then the interplay with parking, I guess it is the WHO, and I am concerned, you know, as a Nevada perspective, we've done some good work in implementing paid parking, whether it's in the casino court, South State Line, the East Shore Trail, and then going over Spooner, the paid parking is if you're going to go to the park and do the Flume Trail or walk around Spooner Lake. And, you know, there will be concern at a state level of paying an entrance fee if that's what is landed on, and then 200 yards later paying a parking fee for the one recreational activity you might be doing for that day, and then turning around and your basin impact is only 200 yards. So I think that needs to be in there. And then, you know, really agree with Belinda's comments on disadvantaged communities and how we address that. But I would add to that, and it's just kind of based on what I've learned through the local government committee and affordable housing, that there is sort of this growing missing middle. Now certainly that's a term in housing as well, but I do want to make sure that there is equal opportunity for recreational access across income levels. So anyway, those are my comments on that slide. And with that, are there any other committee member comments on this slide? So I don't hear any, so okay. Move on to the next.
Thank you, great feedback. So next slide, please. All right, so now we're talking about where improvements will happen. So this is where I think the Transportation Implementation Committee can really add value in organizing these kind of regional and local priorities based on a lot of efforts over the last few years. We have the RTP, we have Bi-State, we have a lot of local work and initiatives and capital improvement programs. And so this is really about how do we package this up into an understandable set of investments. And so we're considering, again, both those significant, regionally significant projects, and then also those locally serving community priorities and how those roll out over time. And so this is gonna be some of that foundational info that's gonna be prepared, I think, first through this implementation strategy that's identified in the work plan, if you recall. And so that can provide that very specific list of projects and a proposal that, you know, this group and TTD can react to. And that's kind of, again, based on implementation capacity and the acknowledgement of other barriers to implementation that I think we've discussed. And so we need to also show with that those benefits. And so this is an area that I'd really like to hear from this group. We heard it earlier. I thought those were good comments about, you know, the climate, GHG and climate needing to be addressed and acknowledged and illustrated. Congestion reduction, we look at, you know, peak time and congestion in certain areas. How is that going to be addressed? So what other measures will be helpful to show and track over time for legislators, for the public, for state and local governments? That's what we'd really like to get some feedback on.
Great, thank you, Nick. I don't see in the chat committee members, I'll just open it up. Any committee members have a question or more importantly, want to provide input on the slide?
Jim, this is Cindy. I have a quick comment.
Yeah, please, Cindy.
As you brought up earlier, you know, where the projects go, there may be times when they're just outside the basin or improvements that we want to see. When we start talking about long term and getting people out of vehicles, it may be buses from or trains or other things that are emanating from other locations. So I just think we want to be as clear that there might be reasons for us to match funding on projects that are not directly in the Tahoe Basin or within our watershed boundaries. So that was that, because I do see, especially the Resort Triangle, but even in discussions we've been having with SACOG and the Bay Area about rail and with Washoe County on that rail system as well. You know, are there augmentations there that are going to require help? So.
Thank you, Cindy. Good. I mean, good comment. I mean, it could very well be as we get into implementation that the biggest bang for the buck, whether it's, you know, VMT reduction, GHG reduction, or quality of life and reducing traffic congestion, that perhaps some of the best projects we need might be right outside of the basin. So thank you, Cindy, for that comment.
Jim, the only thing that jumps out to me on as a second bullet, regional and or local priorities. I don't want this to turn into a competitive thing among ourselves. Hopefully local priorities are going to tie in with the regional effort. And I don't know that it should be treated as, you know, well, this is a local project. So, it, you know, no, if it's needed, it's going to benefit the overall regional program. I would assume just what we're trying to accomplish here. So anyway, I'm nervous yeah. about how that was framed.
Jim, this is Carl. I could speak to that a little bit more.
Sure, go ahead, Carl.
Bill, appreciate that comment. I think what this is trying to recognize, so your comment is good in terms of more clarity is needed about this, is we've got, you know, what we could be calling, you know, projects or services that are of regional significance. They serve an entire region, whereas a jurisdiction as part of the transportation network entirely within its own jurisdiction. Both are necessary and both are needed. And I think what we were attempting to accomplish here with this is recognizing those two aspects of this. And there are dollars, there are gaps in both sets of these kinds of improvements and services, whether they're transit or capital O&M, et cetera. So your point is a good one. I think we can be clear about that. They're not meant to be exclusive of each other. They're meant to be complementary and recognizing as such.
Thanks, Carl. That's much clearer. Thank you very much.
And Jim, can I add something real quick?
Of course. Thank you, Sue. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, just to kind of touch on that, I think it's going to be important just when we get down to the how, you know, when we talk about transparency and I think probably in order to get from the where to the how, it's important that we set our priorities up and everyone has a clear understanding of where those priorities are and how we're going to get to the how. I think that kind of just kind of blends in here with that to make sure everybody is a part of that process of setting priorities and making sure those CIPs, especially or whatever it is, whatever that project is that's being funded has the approval and the forethought from everybody, and then it's inclusive and everyone agrees. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sue. Are there other committee member comments on this slide? I don't see any. I agree with all of my fellow members here on those comments. I think, you know, regarding measurable benefits, I know from a state perspective, you know, we've got our climate strategy out and it's fairly aggressive with GHG reduction. So from a state perspective, really online with that. I do think the where, I am a proponent of trying to match benefits with the folks that are paying. So I do think that, you know, however revenue sources, you know, whatever ones are landed on, I do think that the where that has to be a consideration. I don't think it should be the sole consideration, but I think it is important to acknowledge, you know, that link between the, you know, the funding source and where the projects go. I would also add maybe a public safety component as well. I mean, if we have a very unsafe situation, you know, we don't want the public, you know, being in harm's way. And so I do think that that should be a consideration as well. So just some thoughts as you move on.
Great, thank you.
Would you like to go to the next slide?
Yeah, if we're ready, let's go ahead and move on to the next slide, which is the when. And so is mine not going to the next? Sorry. This is really in regards to timing of funding. And so when will new funding come online? And this will be dependent on a lot of factors, I think. What mechanisms are selected, legislative cycles, public outreach. But I think what we need to do also is acknowledge that gaining agreement around these priorities and these needs first begins to help dictate some of that timeline to deliver. You know, I think we've gotten into a cycle with a lot of lists and timeframes. And I think what we need to do is really go back to focusing on priorities and then have the technical group, which delivers these projects for a living, help fill in that reasonable timeline. And so that's an approach that we're looking to take and to make sure that we're both politically astute in terms of that timeline, but then also responsive to regional goals and needs and kind of landing on that magnitude of funding we seek that's related to those priorities. And so the TTIC will be putting that proposal together to respond more. So we're just kind of putting these questions up there that we're already tackling and addressing in a certain way. Also wanted to mention an idea came up about, you know, can we finance the jumpstart of improvements to really get those improvements on the ground, get some benefits on the ground at either before or as you're putting into place new fees or funding streams so that people are getting a benefit before they even have to pay. Because if you're waiting for funds to accumulate based on any new revenue mechanism, you know, you could be years out about providing benefits. So that's, I think, a very good consideration.
That's exactly, you know, what's going to be my comment. It is a bit of a chicken and egg thing where, you know, we need the revenue in order to implement the projects, but if people are going to be start paying fees or whatever, and they're not going to see any benefits for 10 years down the road, that is going to be a very difficult situation. And so I agree with you. I also see I have Bill wanting to make a comment, then I also see Alexis after that. So Bill, please go ahead.
I agree with what you said, Mr. Chair, that that financing issue is challenging. But I think you need, Nick, in this win is set some set up either more simply in a graph or something like, what are the projects on the horizon that we feel are necessary within the regional transportation plan and the timing for that? And then what prevents it from happening if we don't have the funding or new funding? You know, that way then we'd have the idea for the time frame for delivering necessary priorities. I also think that there's a financing aspect of what, when you talk about new funding, it depends on how you set up the, let's say the basin's transportation district. I mean, they didn't build the Golden Gate Bridge based on the fees going across the bridge, but they paid off the financing from that bridge based on the fees going across the bridge. So you're going to have to, that's going to have to come into the play if we're really going to finance a $1.2 billion transportation system. We obviously aren't going to get $1.2 billion thrown at us. It's going to be over time. And so how is that done?
Are you talking like about bonding, Bill? Tools like that?
It could be bonding. However you would set it up. But that's something, Carl, we are going to have to figure out as we get into the the way we would say in our self-help argument for why we could should do it on our own with our own kind of funding approach. And then how would we do it?
Kind of those financing options. Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good points. Alexis, would you like to make a comment or you have a question?
Well, Bill stated it with the transportation planning and how far we're going to be with that. So those specific transportation projects are going to be really important that we look to move those forward as we're moving this funding forward.
Definitely. Okay, I don't see anybody else queued up. Any last call for committee member comments on this slide? Okay. Nick, want to go on to the how?
Yeah, onward. So this is the how, and like I said, you know, we can always circle back to this one, but I think it's good to just get some initial assumptions that we're thinking about on the table for discussion. So as new funding mechanisms advance, obviously the administrative structure must be developed, and there's a lot of important questions kind of around administering any new funding. Who's responsible for administering the funding? How is transparency and accountability built in? You know, we can use things like maybe Lake Tahoe Info or EIP Tracker to really be transparent and have information accessible in more of a real-time format. So those are some ideas we're kicking around. Also, how are projects selected for funding? I know Sue touched on that earlier, and making sure we're transparent about that process and aligning that also with the existing kind of MPO programming process. We just had committee action and recommendation on the FTIP. So we have a lot of processes in place already on how we administer even existing funding. And so we need to just make sure that this process aligns with that. And then also tracking that performance over time is obviously important. And so like EIP Tracker, like Tahoe Info, we have some existing places for maybe that to live. So just some initial thoughts.
Thank you, Nick. I personally, I find it a little difficult to comment on this slide too much because it is, you know, so dependent upon which revenue sources are landed upon. I think, you know, you've hit some of my thoughts and questions. I think, you know, it talks about who administers new funding. I don't know if it should be in the mix, or probably should be in the mix. It's also the implementation aspect. So much of the transportation cuts across so many multiple jurisdictions, you know, whether it's, you know, and particularly in the capital improvement side, maybe less so on the transit side, but possibly the transit side. But a lot of the capital improvements need to be on our state park properties. We have processes that we have to go through our public works boards when we implement projects. And I assume, you know, the same is for other jurisdictions. So, you know, there's the who administers the funding, but there's sort of the strategy of who's responsible for implementing. Several that we had to work all of that out with. The environmental improvement program was rolled out way back in the day. So I do see Cindy. Cindy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. I think my comment could go at a couple different places, but and it might go back to the equity issue. But I know one thing that we've talked about is also looking not only at the regional needs and the local needs, but kind of that return to source and equity between regions where the funds are collected and where they're used to address issues. So that we will face that at the local jurisdictional level if people feel their funding is leaving their region, collected from their users, and going to a different region of the basin. Obviously, we have regional needs and regional solutions need to be part of that, and everybody needs to contribute, but they also have to feel there's equity from where the traffic congestion is occurring and where the money gets spent. So as well as looking at the existing funding, if a jurisdiction has supplemented significantly those funds for transportation solutions, that's accounted in the mix for what they're contributing. So and vice versa.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cindy. Any other comments from committee members or questions from committee members on the how? I don't see any at this point, and I do want to open it up to public comment. But before I do open it up to public comment, I want to give Julie Reagan a chance to jump in and maybe make some comments from TRPA.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, everyone. I am Julie Reagan, Chief of External Affairs and Deputy Director at TRPA. I just wanted to jump in into the conversation and really thank you all for this discussion. I want to reiterate what Nick had said earlier. I mean, we came up with this framework. It's the five W's and H of journalism, you know, journalism 101, the who, what, when, where, why, how, just to use a framework to talk about this extremely complex topic with you as policymakers. And I just wanted to reiterate, you know, what we're doing today is just trying to get some sideboards around messaging that we then will refine into these various audiences, whether it's legislators, later the community at large, local jurisdictions. You know, the EIP, as Jim said, we've been doing the EIP, the Environmental Improvement Program, now for 25 years, and we have success. But I think transportation has long been the most complex, and to use Director Marchetta's word, the most balkanized of all these programs. So we're really trying to coalesce around the work of the TTD with the One Tahoe program, local jurisdictions, capital improvement programs, the work of the bi-state consultation on transportation, all hewing to the regional transportation plan that you all will be voting on in a couple of months. And so this conversation we've structured with you as policymakers to help us frame up these very complex messages into something simple that we can then translate into, you know, the halls of the legislature, et cetera, where we need to go. So your conversation around this has been super helpful, and I just wanted to assure you that we'll be boiling it down further into, you know, various elevator pitches and other collateral materials that Nick alluded to, and we'll be bringing that back to you, you know, in an adaptive way. So really appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie. I mean, that helps. I think that's very helpful. I appreciate that. And you know, my question before I open it up to public comment is what do you guys see as the next steps, right? You've taken a lot of input from committee members on all of these boxes and slides. I know you need to go back to the various committees and expertise from the technical folks, but what do you see as the next step for this committee? Are you going to come back box by box, or what is that going to look like?
Yeah, I think we've considered box by box, or at least issue by issue. I think there's some issues that we've heard that, you know, deserve a deeper dive, and hopefully we can bring back additional information to have that deeper dive conversation. Also, I think what will be coming forward rather quickly is some of this information about the priorities and the projects, and starting to get some of that information set, because that's really the foundational pieces that allow us to then advance and get people in alignment. So we will be taking all of this feedback and kind of determining what's going to be ripe to come back, because we want to make sure we're making good use of the committee's time. We look forward to additional deeper dives.
Thank you. Do you see this committee meeting on a monthly basis, or is it too soon to tell? Or does it depend on the technical committee work?
Yeah,
I want to give my committee members a heads up if the expectation is monthly.
Yeah. Can you click can you advance the slides to the schedule slide a couple down, Tracy? We have proposed a monthly schedule. Obviously, we won't meet if we don't have a breadth of material and a significant amount of information to get through. But at this point, we are proposing monthly meetings through at least July, August timeframe.
I think that's going to be necessary if we're going to hit the target for the next interim committee, at least on the Nevada side. I know we're running behind schedule, but I didn't want to cut off that. I think this has been a great conversation. I would like to open it up to public comment at this point in time, and then I'll bring it back to the board for final comments. So Maria, I don't know if you're the one managing public comment. If you are, or somebody else, let's go ahead and do that at this point in time.
Okay, Mr. Chair, we do have a couple public comments. Carol Black, you've been unmuted. If you'd like to address the committee.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great, thanks. This has been a really interesting and well-structured conversation. I have to applaud you. I have a couple of comments which may have more to do with how to spend the money than how to get the money. So if you can just bear with me, but it does speak, I think, a little bit to some of the other discussion that I've heard. One is, as many of you may know, I've been talking with various folks at TTD, TRPA, and the various committees about transportation initiatives. And one thing that has become pretty clear to me, at least, in talking with your staff, is the challenges that you have with data. And the foundation of any planning project or effort, it really rests on good data to understand exactly what the issues are, how we're going to structure a program to address them, and really coming up with plans that'll end up with sustainable, effective solutions. And I just think that maybe you want to consider how you're going to get funding to maximize your ability to get the data that you need to really do the efficient and effective comprehensive planning that's necessary to get to the goals that you want to achieve. I know it's not easy data, but it's just a suggestion. And I think it may be worth a little bit of thought and investment. The other comment, oh, by the way, the local question, I am a resident of Incline Village. It's my principal residence, and I'm a registered voter in the Incline Village zip code. So I think that's local, I hope. Secondly, evacuation capacity, capability. I know there's folks who deal with that. I know it's a key issue, but it's paramount for all of us. And so as transportation planning occurs and you think about all these initiatives, I think about how you're going to get people out if there's a wildfire that comes raging through. There are some horrific descriptions. As one example, I think it was in Oregon, of folks trapped between mountains and a lake and no way to get out. They did eventually get out with some of the wildfires last summer. So just to think about that, what's safe capacity for the basin and managing to that capacity. And I also support the discussion about thinking about initiatives for out of the basin, and I also would add initiatives for managing vehicles to keep in the basin but away from the lake. Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Carol. Is there further public comment, Maria?
Yes, there is. Steve Teixeira. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good job facilitating a very important discussion. So Steve Teixeira, for the record, transportation activist in the Tahoe-Truckee area. Appreciate the discussion, but appreciate the fact that you started out, Mr. Lawrence, by pointing out, and I know we all agree that, you know, there needs to be a real environmental benefit to this whole program. And I think there can be and will be, but it's important to have that called out. There was a discussion about operations and maintenance. I think it is important to understand that we do need O&M money for capital projects as well as transit projects. And then sort of along those lines, one difference I'd like to, or not, it's not a difference, but the One Tahoe report did include in its funding estimates the need for O&M money for local jurisdictions for their TMDL requirements. We know how much the local jurisdictions on both sides of the state line have struggled with coming up with a sustainable source of funding to meet their very important TMDL requirements. The One Tahoe report does include an estimate of what that would be and does factor that into what the gap would be. And one of the reasons I think we understand that's important is because if you go to the basin, if you go to the visitors and say, you know, this is a comprehensive fee to do all these different things, and then you have to go back to locals not too long later and say, oh, by the way, we need this money for TMDL O&M. You know, there may be a reason to consider that as part of this package. I understand it would bump up the overall fee, but I just wanted to bring that forward because it does tie into the conversation you had about, you know, hitting people with this fee and then that fee and, you know, the cumulative effect of all that. So we could maybe be transparent and just kind of lay out a number of cards on the table once, just for your consideration. The other thing I wanted to bring up is how important it is for us to think about making sure that the resort triangle, so that area of Eastern Placer County, the town of Truckee, Eastern Nevada County in the Truckee area, would be to include in this process. And I know that there has been that conversation. I know at the last meeting of the TIC on Monday, Dan Wilkins, the Director of Public Works for the town of Truckee, was there. Mike Woodman, who's the Executive Director of Nevada County Transportation Commission, was there. And I won't go into all the other reasons why that's important to factor into this, but I think it's worthy of some additional conversation on the part of this policy committee going forward. How do we bring the resort triangle into this process? So thank you again for a very informed and good discussion, and appreciate all of your time today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Additional public comment, Maria?
Mr. Chair, there's no further public comment.
Thank you. So I know we're running behind. Sounds like there's no further public comment on this. This brings us to, this was an informational only, so there's no vote necessary. Nick, I trust you got good information on where we need to go.
Absolutely. I appreciate the discussion. It was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Agreed.
Excellent. So this takes us to agenda item number 6, which is just any further committee member comments. So do we have any further comments at this point in time on any topic? So I don't see or hear any requests for comments. So with that, we'll move on to the final chance for public interest comments. And I guess I'll open up one more time for public interest comments. Maria, is there anybody in the queue?
Mr. Chair, there's no public comment.
Great, thank you. So we'll close that public comment. I think before adjournment, I just want to express my appreciation to everybody on this committee and then members of the audience. I know we ran late. I think this is an important discussion, and I really appreciate the robust participation from committee members, because if we're going to make progress, it's going to take all of us having good communication. So thank you all. And with that, is there an motion to adjourn?
Hey, Jim, this is Mark Bruce. Can we get 10 minutes? Just it'll be 10 minutes before GB starts. Okay.
Great. I was going to ask you after we adjourned, but that's perfect.
This is Belinda. So, move to adjourn.
Okay. Do we all adjourn? Everybody, yes. Say aye.
Aye.
Great. Aye.